present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid.
Jim, take a look at that, lad. Now, that's me as the Wicked Sir Jasper. That was taken in the lad when I appeared in a melodrama called Out in the Cold, Cold Snow. Three acts, seven scenes, and five murders. Do you know Gladys the pianist fainted twice at every performance?
Hey, did the audience boo and hiss at you?
Oh, yes, yes, especially during my really wicked moments, you know. There she goes, a woman who spurned my advances and married another.
Boo!
Little did she know that at this very moment, I've had a grey-haired old mother clapped in prison for begging.
Boo! Boo!
And now she's even too poor to send her little son to school.
Hooray!
I've had honest Joe Goodhart, her husband, transported to Australia on a false charge of sheep stealing.
Will her mother escape from the nick? Will her husband jump the boat to save her from starvation? Watch next week's installment of the Andy Pandy Show.
Don't speak to me, after all. I'm livid.
Oh, don't be mad at me, Susan. I've said I'm sorry.
What's the matter, you two, then, eh?
Oh, I've upset Susan. She thinks I'm a twit.
She knew that the first time you walked her home. She said, good night, Susan, kissed her, walked straight into our house and shut the door in her face.
Oh, shut up, all of you. I'm fed up.
Oh, Susan, look, well, why don't you take your shoes off and put the kettle on? Not on you, I mean, just put your feet on the gas oven. Make yourself a nice cup of tea in your slippers. In your feet, teapot. Go ahead.
Alfred, slow down before you dislocate your tonsils, lad. Well, what's he been doing, Susan, eh?
I made a simple arrangement with him. I said, pick me up at the office at 5:30 to take me down to the shop to collect my new dress. If you can't make it, phone me and I'll go on my own. And guess what he did?
I know. He phoned the dress shop at 5:30, asked them if they could make it, and finished up buying himself a frock.
Give over. I was busy at work, and at 5:30, I remembered Susan, so I went to pick her up at the dress shop, and she wasn't there, so I rang your house, but I dialed the wrong number and spent 10 minutes talking to a woman in a tripe shop. Then I left for Susan's office on a bus. It was going the wrong way.
Well, no wonder Susan's mad, Alfie Lunt.
So's me, ma'am. She'd have 2 pounds of tripe and a cow heel delivered, and none of us eat them.
Look, by the time I'd walked to the dress shop, they were closed. And now I've no new dress for the dance tonight.
Well, what's a new dress, Susan? If you haven't got one, don't worry. Go without one on. I mean, wear that old black one that matches your face. Your hair. Hey, shall we go to the pictures instead?
Mr. Allroyd, I don't know how Alfie's mind works, but I wonder how long the strike's been on.
Jim, you know, it reminds me of Charlie Potter. Charlie Potter. Melody is on a musical saw. Very absent-minded, you know. Laugh. One night he put the saw under his chin, started to play a hot chorus at 12th Street Rag, and nearly cut his ear off.
If Alfie did that and cut his head open, all that had come out would be sawdust. Fancy getting things all mixed up like that.
Hey, listen, clever boy, you've caused plenty of trouble yourself in the past getting things all wrong.
Who was? The only time I did that was when you called while Aunt Susan was in the front room with Freddie Hill, and she told me to tell you she was having a bath.
Well, how did you get that mixed up, Jim?
I said, you can't see our Susan now, Alfie. She's having a bath with Freddie Hill.
Pat, where can I find that black bow tie of mine?
What do you want it for, Father?
Well, for my waiting on job at the Rose and Crown a week next Saturday. I'll get a white coat from the landlord.
Just a minute. You're waiting on at the pub?
Aye, it's the night of the snooker finals. Well, you see, they're expecting a full house and they need extra staff, so I said I'd help.
What with the serving or the drinking?
Now then, Pat, I do expect to get a few free drinks on top of my £2 wages.
£2? And free drinks as well. Have they got any vacancies for barmaids?
Hello, Mother. Grandad.
Hello.
Hello, Susan.
You're a bit late tonight, aren't you?
Oh, I got held up, Mother. Talking to Mrs. Billington in the street. She's on the committee that's organizing the old age pensioners' annual tea party and concert. She said they'll probably be contacting Grandad tomorrow to produce and compare it again.
Oh, aye. I'd forgotten my annual good deed for the old folks. When is it this year, Susan?
I forget the date, but it's a week on Saturday.
A week on Saturday? Oh, dear.
What's the matter, Grandad?
That's the night he's got a job as a temporary waiter at the Rose and Crown. Of course, you won't be going to the pub now, will you, Father?
Well, I don't know. I promised Jack Benson, the landlord, he can count on my help. Well, if I let him down, he'll have to get somebody else.
And somebody else will get the £2.
Exactly. All right, I'll forget my £2 and the free drinks.
Broken like a gentleman, but not much like a Scotsman.
No. that'll be enough, Pat. Well, I think I'll away and phone the pub.
Good for you, Father.
What a life. For once I know how young Jimmy feels when I stop his spending money. Oh, well, I must do the decent thing. Hello, is that you, Jack? Well, it's Peter Sinclair here. Jack, about that snooker night, well, I'm afraid I can't make it. Well, I've got to go somewhere else. Well, it's a date, you see.
Oh, there you are, Grandad. Can you give me sixpence, please?
No, I can't. Listen, Jack, that's the date of the Old Age Pensioners concert, and I usually produce it and do the comparing.
It's only sixpence, Grandad, and it's urgent.
Be quiet, Jimmy. Look, Jack, I'm telling you I can't do it.
I'll pay you back when my ship comes in.
Jimmy, now look, Jack, I'm sorry about the old folks' concert, but you'll have to count me out.
Grandad, it's only a tanner.
I agree that £2 for one night's waiting on is, well, it's not to be sniffed at, but...
Please, Grandad.
Oh, hang on, Jack. Now, how much is it you want, Jimmy?
A shilling, Grandad.
He wants. You haven't been using Ozzy's head for a punch bag again, have you?
I've never touched him. Come on, let's go and see what the old gorilla wants. Hello, Mr. Higginbottom.
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. Aren't you going to get out of your cage? Cab.
What was that?
It's all right. He's thinking about something we were just talking about. What do you want, Mr. Ape-Man? Higginbottom?
I thought I'd drop by and see what's wrong with your granddad. Is he ill or something?
No, he's all right.
Oh, must be going senile then. Refusing free drinks and money. He's going to end up disgracing his clan.
Well, what are you talking about?
I fixed him a job at the pub waiting on, and now he's turned it down. Says he can't do it.
Well, maybe Mr. Sinclair feels he's too old to go on working in a pub every night.
This was only for one night, the snooker finals. And he can't come because of some daft concert for the old age pensioners on the same night.
You what? No, you've got it wrong. He's not going to the concert, I heard him telling somebody on the phone.
Oh, well, he mustn't be going anywhere then. Because the landlord definitely had a phone call from him last night saying he couldn't wait on at the snooker finals.
No, I heard him say... Oh, heck. Oh, no. Alfie, get some smelling salts. I'm going to faint.
What's the matter?
I can't tell you while Mr. Higginbottom's here. I mean, little pigs have big ears.
Now, look here.
Boy, you come round here to my house disturbing me when I'm busy, and nothing of what you say makes sense. Mr. Hall, can you tell me what he's trying to say?
Well, I think I could, but I don't know whether I should. Because Jimmy told me, he said, when we get there, you just keep your mouth shut and don't stare at her out there. Boomy, Paul!
Sorry, Alfie. Look, it's simple. I was wrong when I said Grandad couldn't do the concert. He can do it.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, I'm afraid I offered the job to this Mr. Holroyd, and on your recommendation as well.
Yes, but I've been thinking you wouldn't like him. I mean, he tells rude jokes about vicars and parrots.
Well, now, look here. I'm sorry if your grandfather is available, but the job is open to Mr. Holroyd. Why, he's coming to a meeting tonight at the Darby and Jones Club to finalise the whole matter.
Oh, I see. But suppose he doesn't turn up.
Oh, well, then we might have to think about getting someone else. Your grandfather, perhaps. But Mr. Holroyd's sure to be there. He sounded most keen.
He won't be so keen if somebody tells him to go to the wrong place.
I beg your pardon?
Nothing. What time is this meeting?
The Darby and Joan Club. Oh, 7:30.
I see. Come on, Alfie. We've got to find a phone box. Cheerio, Mrs. Billington.
Goodbye.
Jimmy, what do we want to find a phone box for?
Listen, if somebody tells Mr. Holroyd to go to the wrong place, and then they tell Grandad to go to the right place, it should all work out fine. Don't you get what I mean?
Well, I'm sure it would make sense to somebody, but it's got me completely baffled.
That's what your dad said on the day you were born.
Oh, thank you, my dear. Is your grandfather then?
Yes, he's in here.
Oh, good, yes. Well, I want a little bit of advice, you see. Oh, hello, Pat. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Bert.
Hi, then, Bert. Did I hear you say you wanted some advice?
Yes, Peter. It's about the Darby and Joan concert.
Well, that's funny. We were just saying you might be able to help with that.
Oh. Well, Grandad's the one to tell you. He's been the star and compere of it ever since the Boer War.
Well, I have been the compere for a few years, Bert.
Yes, well, that's why I thought you could give me a few tips, you see, since I'm going to be doing it this year instead of you.
What? How do you mean you're doing it?
Well, Mrs. Billington phoned me and said that since you had let her down, would I sort of fill the breach?
Oh, there must be some misunderstanding. Father hasn't let them down.
Oh, but she said Peter was making a few bob for himself waiting on at the pub on snooker night final, so he couldn't afford to do the concert, you see.
She hasn't spoken to me.
Oh, no. She spoke to young Jimmy. Yeah. He said you were telling somebody on the phone.
I'll murder him. I was telling the landlord of the Rose and Crown that I couldn't wait on because I was doing the concert.
Oh, dear. Well, there's been a bit of a misunderstanding there. Well, look, Peter, I'll tell them that you are doing the show after all, and I'll just withdraw.
No. They've asked you without speaking to me, so you can do it.
Oh, no, Father, you can't blame them.
Oh, come on, Peter, you take over again, lad.
I will not. No, they want you. You've agreed, so that's that.
Listen, why don't you both do it?
Well, how do you mean? That's an idea, Peter, you know. Two compares. A double axe. You and your kilt and me and my tails. I've got lots of scripts, you know, from when the wife and I did the old double act. Oh, let's go round to my house and see what there is, eh?
Aye. Right. Ah, it'll be a novelty anyway. Wait a minute, though. Will your scripts be any good? I mean, your wife was a woman.
She still is, I hope. Yes, well, I mean, I know what you mean. Well, we can alter them, lad. Yes, and, anyway, you were the kilt, you know.
Now then.
Oh, go on, Father.
Ah, well, all right. Well, come on, Bert. Let's go to your place. And, Pat.
Yes?
When your son comes back, keep him here till I get back. And if he tries to get out, tie him to the couch. Face downwards.
Come on, Alfie. There's a phone box over there.
Oh, but what good will it do us phoning him? Mr. Elrod won't believe you, and your granddad won't believe me.
We're going to disguise our voices, you dope. We're supposed to be two old-age pensioners. I'm an old woman, and you're an old man. I tell Mr. Holroyd the meeting is somewhere else, and then you phone Grandad and tell him to be at Mrs. Billington's at 7:30. Understand?
Yes, I see, but how can I disguise my voice?
Change it to a man's. Come on. Mr. Holroyd will probably be at home now, all on his own. So I'll go first. Just watch young Jim doing old Mother Riley. Get your four pennies out and listen to Sir Lawrence Clitheroe.
By tunnel and Lochanoch and Lochaber I will go, by heather tracks where heaven in their wild.
I say. Why did the bald-headed man paint rabbits on his head?
I don't know. Why did the bald-headed man paint rabbits on his head?
Because from a distance they look like hares.
Well, now, that always gets a big laugh at you, know, Peter.
It always did.
Right, well, go on, say the next line, huh?
All right.
Yes.
I don't wish to know that. Kindly leave the stage. I am trying to sing The Road to the Isles.
Don't sing it. Take it. Now, you see, that's where the wife and I used to go into the song and dance.
Well, after a joke like that, it would be safer to keep moving.
Excuse me a minute, will you, Peter? Mark my words, you know, the old-age pensioners will go for that stuff. They'll go for it.
They'll more likely go for us.
Hello. Bert Holroyd here.
Hello, Mr. Holroyd. This is Mrs. Inglethorpe speaking.
Who?
Mrs. Inglethorpe. From the Darby and Joan floor.
I've got a penny on the floor.
I mean, speak up, Mr. Holroyd.
Oh, just a minute, Mrs. Inglethorpe. Hey, Peter, come here and listen to this.
Why, who is it? Someone for me?
No. Just keep your hand over the mouthpiece. It's an old lady from the Darby and Joan Club, she says. But I think this old lady wears short trousers.
What?
It's Jimmy, having a game. I heard Alfie as well.
Well, play it along. Let's hear what he's up to.
All right, righto. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. Inglethorpe. There was somebody at the door. What did you want, then? That's right, at Mrs. Billington.
Well, it's being changed now. Changed. Yes, changed.
Oh, has it? Yeah.
Yes, we're having it in the Scouts Hut in Denby Street. Scouts Hut, Denby Street. The Scouts Hut. Yes.
Oh, Denby Street. The Scouts Hut. Yes. Well, thank you for telling me, Mrs. Yes, I thought that's what he said. Yeah. Yes, well, I'll go then. Go there then, Mrs. England. Yes.
Good, goodbye. I'll see you there then.
Yes, goodbye. In the pig's eye, you will. Oh, dear. Well, what do you make of that then, Peter, eh?
Well, I think I'm on to him. I'd better get back home.
Yes.
If I'm right, I should be getting a call from an old-age pensioner myself in about 1 minute.
Yes, only this time it'll probably be from her husband.
Mr. Alfie Inglethorpe.
Right, go on, Alfie. You've put your money in, now dial the number.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try my voice out.
Well, hurry up, then. Go on, like an old man.
Hello, is that you, Mr. Sinclair? How's that?
Sounds more like an old goat. Listen, talk like this. An old man with no teeth.
But I've got all my teeth.
If you mess this up, you won't have them for long. Go on, any old man will do. That bloke in Treasure Island, you know, Ben Gunn. Ben Gunn's my name. Old Ben. He was crackers. That should be easy for you.
Look, you shut up. Well, here we go then.
Oh, that bloke on the telly, Steptoe. That's it, be Steptoe.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Sinclair here?
Yeah, hello? Is that Mr. Sinclair?
Yes, who's speaking?
I'm Mr. Steptoe. Oh,
don't some mothers have them? Mumble the name like I did.
You are? No, I mean, you are.
What name did you say?
Mr. English.
Oh, yes. What's your first name?
Alfred.
Alfred. Well, what do you want, Mr. Ingram, for?
The Dabbing Joan Club of Lies to come to a meeting at 7:30.
What for?
I don't know.
About organising the concert, you dope.
Yeah, about organising the concert, you dope.
Well,
we hope.
Where is the meeting?
In the Scouts' Hall. Don't be like. Oh, my poor old leg, a bandit on button egg.
It's at Mrs. Billington's house.
It's at Mrs. Billington's house.
Oh, right you are, then. Well, bye-bye, Mr. Ingram.
I said that. Well, Jim, how was that?
Marvellous. You could be on the telly with Steptoe.
Hey, do you think so?
Yeah, that horse of theirs can't last forever.
Now, it's quite clear, my dears, what you say as soon as that young scallywag arrives.
Yes, Father, you've told us 3 times.
Don't worry, Grandad. Oh, we'll put the wind up him, not to mention his stooge Alfie.
All right. Well, Bert, do you think they'll fall for it?
Oh, I don't see how I can fail, so long as the ladies don't start giggling, you know. You must watch that, ladies. Oh, yes, I think the Foreign Legion looks like getting 2 new recruits.
Well, we'll soon find out. They're just coming up the palm.
Right, quick, Bert. We'll go in the kitchen.
Okay, Peter.
Off you go, then. Go on and let the criminals in, Susan.
Oh, righto, Mother. It'll be a pleasure.
Well, come on, Bert, and we'll leave the door open. Just a wee fraction.
Yes, it'll save you both fighting for the keyhole.
So, you finally come home, have you?
We have to. Everywhere else is shut.
Hey, cut it out.
Yes, come in and keep quiet. We're in no mood for jokes. We're very upset about Mr. Holroyd.
All right. Are you annoyed because he isn't comparing?
Alfie, count your feet before you speak again. Hello, Mum. What's up?
Oh, it's poor Mr. Holroyd. He had a phone call from somebody pretending to be an old lady.
Pretending?
Maybe Steptoe could use another horse.
Yes, and whoever it was got him to go to the Scouts' Hut, and he was attacked and robbed.
But he couldn't have been. We only thought... only saw him today.
Anyway, the police are sure they'll catch them, because they know one was a boy.
Ah, but nobody saw him, eh? What, to saw him, did they?
They traced the call to the phone box and checked the fingerprints, so all they've got to do is to find the people who match them.
Ah, but the people who rang up weren't the ones who hit him.
How do you know?
He means they might not be.
Of course they are. Anyway, they'd have a job proving they didn't.
You're not kidding. still, they can't take everybody's fingerprints in the town, so...
Oh, no, they're not going to.
No, since they know one was a boy, they're going to all the schools on Monday morning to check the prints of all the boys.
Yes, and when they've got him, they'll make him tell on the man.
I will know.
Alfie, we'd better go and fix that thing on your motorbike.
Well, what thing?
Scratton bracket. Before the police see it.
Ah, but I don't think... Oh, yes.
Come on, then. We'll not be long, Mum.
You'd better not be long. It's nearly 8 o'clock.
Well, what are you up to now?
Up to me neck in it, and so are you.
Hey, what can we do?
Go for a ride and break down on your bike. Then we'll have to stay away until it's fixed.
You are?
We'll ring me, Mum, to say I'll be back on Monday afternoon, after the coppers are finished at the school.
Well, ring her from where?
Blackpool, where we break down.
Blackpool?
Well, if we have to break down, we might as well pick somewhere where we can enjoy it. Hey, Sergeant, this tea is horrible. Have you got any lemonade?
No, I haven't. This is a police station, not a snack bar.
The tea is a bit stewed.
Well, you better get used to it. If we believe your confession about attacking this man Holroyd, you'll probably be having your next cup in Dartmoor.
But the policeman who stopped me about my lights didn't understand what I said.
It's true, Sergeant. Alfie's not a baddie, he's nutty.
Yeah, that's right. Look, you got us into all this trouble.
What? I asked you to pretend to have a breakdown at Blackpool, and you have to have a real one in Knotty Ash.
Oh, my lights went out.
When Grandad gets you, they'll go out again.
Lord, keep quiet.
I got through to the boy's mother, Sergeant.
Yeah?
Well, was me mum very upset?
Oh, I couldn't really tell. She was laughing too much.
What do you mean by that, Ronnie?
Well, apparently these two here tried to play a trick on someone, but they didn't fall for it, so they turned the tables on them and gave them a taste of their own castor oil, and now they had to run for it.
Jimmy, well, what was all that about?
Well, he was either imitating you or your dad's got a soft brother in Ireland.
You are?
Don't you see? They were wise to us. All that stuff that Mum and Susan told us about Holroyd was lies. They lied to their own flesh and blood. How low can you get?
Those involved with the Clitheroe kids this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Derek Giler as Bert Holroyd, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, and Rosalie Williams as Mrs. Billington. The recorded program was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
What a carry-on when we got back home. They all laughed their heads off, and the worst of it was our Susan blabbed to Ozzy. Yesterday it was all over the school that I'd been an old woman. At dinner time, Ozzy said, "Hey, Sissy Clitheroe, who are you going to be today to give us a laugh? Salome, Dancing with the Seven Veils?" I said, "No, Samson, I'm going to be Delilah." And I gave him a haircut with me knife and fork. Get off!